Welcome to Lesbians Who Write with Claire Lydon and T.B. Markinson. Conversations about writing and lesbian fiction. Join us as we draw back the curtain on the writer's life.
Hello and welcome to episode 36 of Lesbians Who Write. And this week we're going to be talking about NaNoWriMo and should you do it and what does it all mean? I remember the first time I heard the word NaNoWriMo, no idea. Anyway, before we get onto that, let's welcome, I'm Claire Lydon. Let's welcome my co-host, the vivacious, the voluptuous and the virtuous, but certainly not villainous or vapid, T.B. Markinson. Hello, T.B. The V's just kept on giving.
Yeah, they did. And I was like, can I be slightly villainous? Can I have a little bit of a bad girl inside me?
You can be the voluptuous villainous T.B. Markinson.
I'm surprised you didn't slip in vulva.
The vulva-owning T.B. Markinson.
The vulva-owning. I'm actually done on that. I would like to make a programming note that we had mentioned in our last podcast that we were going to discuss the tools we can't live without, but then Clara was wise enough to look at a calendar and realize that Nano is getting ready to start, and we switched up our schedule a bit so we can get a Nano podcast out to you just in time in case you are going to venture down this path.
Because we are lesbians who write, and so we can always be lesbians who Nano as well.
It used to be just Nano, right? Now it's Nano. Now what is it called? Nano, right? Nano.
We're gonna get into this. Let's not peek too soon, TB, and start talking about it now. We can discuss your confusion on the matter later.
All right, I'm sure I'll still be just as confused like normal. So I guess we need to move on. Are we gonna tackle the ice cream cookie dough Hamilton first, or are we gonna go right into what have we been doing?
Wow, you are shaking up the podcast. I know. You wanna get straight to the topic, now you're doing the let's see what we've been doing this week.
This has not been a good week on my end. This has not been a fun week. First of all, I'll tackle my work stuff first, because you know that's why we're here, to hear about my boring work life.
She loves her job, everyone.
Am I selling it? Am I selling it enough?
Yeah, you totally are.
One of the things I did is I finally signed my Tantor contract for A Shot at Love, the audio rights. This is my first time signing away my rights in any way as a writer. I have to admit, it's been kind of weird. It's been a weird experience because I've been indie for ebooks and for paperbacks and some of my audio. Can I consider myself indie for audio if I'm doing ACX royalty share?
Yeah, because you still do. Yeah, because you still own the copyright. You don't give that away.
Yeah. So we decided to do Tantor for the Village Romance series. Yeah, it was just weird signing that piece of paper. I've never had to do it before.
Yeah, so I signed my contract as well. So that's what we've both done since the last time. And I do agree with you. It is a weird thing giving away your intellectual property rights on any of your books. I mean, I would never do it on an ebook. I might do it on a print book if somebody asked me, but I'd never do it on an ebook. But it is still a weird thing to do with audio, even though it is just audio. It'll be an interesting experience, won't it? Life's all about the journey, TB.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons. I was like, you know, I've never done it, so this might be a good way to, you know, experience what it's like. And the contract is 5 years, so that's not like a life sentence or anything. I hope I make it past 5 years. So, but yeah, it was just one of those things where I was signing the paper. I was like, you've never done this before. Interesting.
No. So it is a funny thing to do. I agree. Yeah.
So my other exciting news on the book front is my holiday romance. I've been co-writing with Miranda McLeod. Title is Holly and Ivy, and it is getting ready to go out to the art team in a couple days. So I'm back in that, oh my God, are they going to like it? Are they going to hate it? Is this the one where I fail panic mode? I'm right back. Wasn't I just here like last month?
I think it seems like last week. But Holly and Ivy, I see what you did there.
It's a Christmas one, yeah.
Is there a carol going to come along to try and split them up?
No, sadly we didn't squeeze it. I don't think there's... Shit, I'm going to have to admit I can't remember all the characters' names off the top of my head. I'm going to say there isn't a carol, then there's going to be a reader. It's like, yeah, on page 253, there's a carol clearly right there. And I'm going to be like, fuck.
Do you think that, because my own Christmas book that I wrote 4 years ago, All I Want for Christmas, has the lead character of Holly, if we did a survey of Christmas books that have come out, we'd find how many of them we'd find with lead characters called Holly, Ivy or Carol.
Probably a lot. I mean, probably a lot. But it's not like we're like reinventing the wheel here.
Hey, but I thought I was original when I did it, and I'm sure you probably thought you were pretty original. You're like, yeah, that works.
Totally loving it. Holly and Ivy. I mean, come on. My cousin says Christmas, like Holly and Ivy.
But I have to say, I'm very much looking forward to reading it because, have I told you before, I love Christmas and I love Christmas books. So, looking forward
to it. All right, well, I'll have to get you a copy.
Thanks.
And then,
I still haven't read what? Reservations of Love yet, sorry.
Reservations of the Heart?
Come on, oh, God, sorry.
I can't remember my characters, but you can at least remember my title.
I haven't read Reservations of Love or Reservations of the Heart.
Now do I have to pen Reservations of Love? Just yeah. Like how can have a book that's like that?
That would be a good follow-up, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, we've talked about co-writing a book. Is this maybe part of our... this is going to be our book title? Should we just come up with a book title first and then go?
Yes. Reservations of Love. It can be about a hotel.
Okay. I'm liking this. All right. Okay. So to round out what I've been up to this week, last Friday I went to P-Town for the Women's Week, and I attended a few of the Bold Strokes Books events, which was fun. It's always a good time to get together with other lesbian authors. But unfortunately, at some point during this weekend, I was struck with food poisoning, and so the rest of my weekend really fucking sucked. So if anyone has sent us messages to our email or on the website, I'm very slow responding right now. So I'm happy I'm upright at the moment. But I did get something that I got a new mug for our recording days, and it's in honor of you, my new mug. Now, I won't make you try to read it because it's kind of hard to read, but the wording on the mug says, "Hey, cunt muffin, why don't you climb in your douche canoe, cry me a river, and float the fuck away?" I was like, this is perfect for Claire.
I'm not sure I should take that, really. Thanks.
Oh, come on. It's your favorite word. You know it. They did add muffin to cunt muffin. So.
I'm not sure cunt muffin works for me, I've got to say. Because, you know, muffin's a bit sort of soft and squidgy. I think it takes away from it. I think they've over-egged the pudding, if I'm honest.
Well, I love it.
Okay, good. I'm glad you do.
So how about you? You've had a big week. What's going on, Claire Lydon's world?
Oh, not much. Yes, I have had a very, very good week, very big week. Launched Made in London. Was it last week? Yes, it was. It seems like a long time ago. I think generally when you're launching a book, there's just a lot going on, isn't there? And it's very consuming. And I'm itching to get back to writing first draft words, although I did a little bit of that today. But it launched the book and that's gone very well. I did have, like, I was thinking about our self-doubt episode and what we were saying about it. And I think actually as part of my launch process, I always have a day wobble. Do you have a wobble when you launch?
I think we all know that I wobble all the time when I'm like at every stage. I'm like the nervous Nelly of the two of us. I can have a wobble like every 5 minutes. But yes, I do know what you mean. There is that one day where you're just like, oh man.
Yeah.
So it's hard to describe.
It is. But I think now, maybe not even a couple of books ago, I was like, oh my God, this is the worst book I've ever written, yada, yada, yada. But I think now I kind of know that it's just my process. And so I just tell myself that. And so it's fine. So, you know, I had that day sort of maybe 36 hours. Let's call it 36 hours last week where I was just like, oh, I don't know. But I took my own self-doubt advice. And actually, I am pretty pleased with this book. So, you know, I just came out of it like, you know, yeah. It's a good book, everyone. So so that's what you have to think when you're writing. You have to be your own biggest cheerleader because the self-doubt will come for you. But anyway, I'm getting some lovely reviews and bloggers seem to like it. And and it exceeded my expectations sales-wise. So I can't really say can't really ask for any better than that. I suppose there is sort of a thing with this one, and I think I've said this to you before, is that I knew I was launching this not into Kindle Unlimited, And so I know that when I launch a book, not into Kindle Unlimited, and when it's book six in a series, that it's not going to, you know, shoot up the charts. So, you know, you have to come into it with realistic expectation mindset, but actually this one's eclipsed what I expected it to do thus far. So I'm pretty pleased with it.
I have a question. So since you didn't release it in KU, but you released it to other platforms.
Yes.
Does it make up the sales that you may have lost without going into KU?
Well, it's a question you can never answer, isn't it? Because it's...
I know, it's going to be a hard one.
Yeah, because I think I was listening to a Jana Penn podcast on her Creative Pen podcast, strangely, today. And she was talking with Michael Anderley, who created the 20 Books to 50K group, which is very popular on Facebook. And he has been a big advocate of going KU. And he's made a lot of money going KU. But he's, interestingly, he's just taking a new series wide. And he's doing it because he said... Everyone keeps saying to him, well, what about the wide? You know, what about the money you could be making over here? And he's like, well, I don't know. I don't know if it works. And so he's going to try it with a new series. However, as he said, you can't split test. You can't say, I'm going to put this series on KU and then put it on elsewhere. So I would never be able to tell you that. Because when I launched London Calling back in 2014, there was no KU. And so I've built up an audience on the other platforms. And so I don't want to just desert them.
See, I'm on the other spectrum because I've always been in KU since, like, KU came out.
Yeah.
And I was lazy when I first uploaded A Woman Lost because I think we've admitted that we didn't know a whole hell of a lot when we first started this writing career.
Yeah.
And so I didn't put it on wide because I didn't really know how. And then, like, KU came out, and I was like, well, that was kind of a relief because now I don't have to take everything off wide. So I would feel like I was abandoning my KU readers.
Yes, yes.
And because they've been with me from the beginning.
And I have to say, there is a little bit of that because I have been mixing and matching. So, you know, Twice in a Lifetime, You're My Kind, A Taste of Love. They've all been in KU and two of them still are. They will be coming out eventually. Well, not sure about A Taste of Love, but You're My Kind will. And so I do feel there is a little bit of that I am kind of abandoning my KU readers as well. So it's a tricky one. But because this series has always been wide, I just decided to keep it wide. I'm seeing real upticks on Apple and Kobo and Barnes & Noble, and not just with this book, but obviously with the series as well. Google, I'll say, is a bit of a... It's so up and down. There's no one thing that you can say about it. Does it work? I'm still on the fence about that one. I've been on sale at Bella Books as well, and I normally see an uptake there. So, yeah, it's difficult to say. But, you know, I came into this knowing that, and I'm pretty pleased with how it's going. And obviously, because it's book six in the series, it's a longer play. And at the moment, book one in the series, London Calling, is free across all platforms. So that's just to see if I can tempt new readers into the series, and then hopefully they'll like it, and then they'll go on and read a few more. Hopefully all of them. That's what you should do.
Yes,
if you're listening.
Yes. Everyone should read all of them. Just read all of them, damn it.
But it's also a great way to, you know, just get people to read one of my books and see if they like them. So I decided to do that. I've never put a book free before, not like this. I've already had nearly 1,000 downloads of it, and that's before it goes to BookBub. So I went to BookBub today, so we'll see. And then, you know, it's a long play, that one, and I can report back maybe in a few months and say, did it work? So yeah, so it's very exciting times for the London series this week. New book out and London Calling on sale, so we'll see how it goes. I went to my writing caravan retreat, as you know, and so when I was there, I did have to proof my book, so that was quite a lot of the time. But also, I replotted the other book, you know, the book I put on hold, the book I'm 30,000 words into. So I replotted it. So, and then I haven't done anything on it since then. So I need to get back on that. But I did manage to write 1,000 words today.
But that's great. Now, when you say replotted, does that mean you're going to have to go back in and dig deep and change things around? Or did you just plot out the remaining parts you hadn't written?
Both. It's a bit annoying, isn't it?
Like, the amount of times we change one story, I don't think readers really understand, like, how many variations it goes through from when it's just in the infancy in our head where we're like, oh, this would be a really great idea, until when we finally hit the publish button. Like, it's just like, it changes so much.
I think I just got to the midpoint and just thought something's not quite right. And I did work it out. It was really useful actually going to the caravan because I was there with three other gay romance authors. And I was discussing the issue with them. One of them just gave me the answer, really. Just said, well, you've changed the whole premise of the book, and then now the book didn't work. So I had to just go back and reinstall the premise, and then it worked.
Well, there's a little premise. It's so annoying. It has to be, like, right there. It has to be spot on. It
has to be on the premises. I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's in the definition or something.
Did you take the premise out, Claire? No, no. Don't look at me. I didn't do it. So also this week, I'm being uber lesbian. How lesbian am I being, TB?
Apparently uber lesbian. I don't really know what that entails, but because I've never been an uber lesbian.
So this week, I'm going to see Hannah Gadsby do some comedy on Friday.
You know, you and Harper always mention her, and I just don't know who she is. And I feel, and this is maybe this is how I'll never be the uber lesbian, because I'm just like, huh?
So,
but you guys are always like traveling to see her, and I have no fucking clue.
Well, I haven't actually seen her before, and I'm only traveling, you know, 4 tube stops, so it's not too bad. Harper and Caroline are traveling from Belgium, so they really love her. Yeah, she is a Australian comedian who basically broke the internet and broke comedy with her last show called Nanette, and it was a Netflix special. It was hugely successful and very emotional, very vulnerable, so personal and incredibly done. It was sort of anti-comedy. See it to believe it. But no, it was really, really good, but it will leave you with your jaw on the floor. But it's so true, and it just kind of depicts women's and lesbians' roles in the world, and it's not a laugh a minute, I'll tell you that much. However, it was a very important piece of work. So she's coming to London on Friday, and she's doing a new show, and apparently she said it's a lot. She said it will make you laugh more rather than make you cry.
So are we going to get a lot of comments of kind of like with the Great British Bake Off, where people are like, I can't believe you haven't watched this yet?
I think you might, yes, because it was pretty amazing. It was pretty well publicised and talked about last year. Did it pass you by?
Totally zipped by me!
So, and then that's Friday, and then on Monday, I'm going to see the Indigo Girls in concert.
Wow, you are being a super dyke this weekend.
Super dyke. Yes, I am.
I think I lost even more lesbian points this week because I was in a Starbucks and they had a sign and they had like a ghost and then they had a bee and then it said, boo bees. And I was like, boo bees. Boo bees. What are they trying to say? And then it was until I read that it was Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I'm like, oh, boobies! I'm the worst lesbian ever. I could not get this sign.
You really are a really bad lesbian. Let's get on to comments, Comment Monitor.
We have 2 comments today. The first one is from Gabby of Les Review Books. She thought our self-doubt episode was very inspirational, even for non-writers, so... That's good to know, because, oh, geez, all of us, self-doubt. I mean, obviously, I'm pretty much the queen of self-doubt, and you're, like, the cool, calm, collected lesbian. But, I mean, it is something that everyone has to tackle almost on a daily basis. And then we had Katie of The Lesbian 52. That's a book blog.
Yeah.
I think she's going to read, like, 52 books a year. That makes sense, right? Are there 52 weeks a year? I probably should have done a little bit more research. I'm sorry, Katie. But she's been listening to our podcast and says we're fun, and she enjoys listening to our views on the process. She must enjoy us listening to us whine about the process, because we're always like, oh my God, you have to have a premise in the book? What the fuck?
It's a revelation.
It really is. So... That is it for comments this time, but I should we note that we're going to record the next episode right after this, so if other comments, please stay tuned, because I will get to them. I have parceled them out for our advanced recordings, because Claire is ditching me and going away.
But I'll be thinking of you the whole way. You're parceling them out. You're like the lesbian Santa Claus. I've got 2 comments. The first one is from Alicia, a long-time commenter of our show. So thanks, Alicia. She just said that on episode 33, I said about the All I Want series, and I said how it didn't sell all that well, and it made me have a lot of self-doubt and sort of knocked my confidence a bit. And she said that She just wanted me to know that that was the series that got her back into reading lesfic again after 20-odd years. And she loved it, and so did her wife. And she thinks it's worth a 5-star rating, and she hopes I'll continue to pen more books like this series. And she also loves the podcast, loves our humour and our top bants. So continue to rock on, she says.
Well, that's very nice. And what a nice thing to, like, take time out of her day to give you that extra push to keep you writing. I love it when readers actually do that. They actually care.
Very lovely. And the other thing is, we talked about the Seasons of Love movie that was coming out, which is going to be the Lesbian Love, actually, and the creators of it, Telefilms, responded and said we could rent or buy the movie on telefilms.com or go to seasonoflovemovie.com for info and cool pics. So there you go. Information for everyone listening.
Oh, and I also meant to thank you because you knew on Monday, because we were conversing, and you figured out quite quickly that I wasn't my normal chatty self, and you asked if I was okay, and I said, no, I'm dying. I appreciate you were picking up comments on Twitter for me because I was dying. So you're just the best friend ever.
Oh, you know, we're a team, TB, a team. Let's get on to today's big question. What on earth is NaNoWriMo, and should you be doing it? Shall I tell you what NaNoWriMo is, seeing as though you were a little bit confused about it?
Well, I did do some master research on it. I looked at Wikipedia. You can dive into it, and I will fill in whatever gaps there are. I'm sure there won't be, though, because you are the uber professional lesbian with a cape.
Well, I have got a cape, but I didn't do any research, so you might have to fill in those gaps. I was just going to say NaNoWriMo stands for National Novel Writing Month. It's been going for 20 years. It's a yearly event. And it's called NaNoWriMo to its friends. But that word makes no sense to anybody when you first hear it. I understand that they wanted to shorten it, but it makes no sense. But, you know, it's now common parlance in writer circles. But say it normally and everyone just goes, what? You what?
Yeah, I have to admit, I first heard about this before I was writing professionally, but I was blogging, and a lot of the bloggers that I chatted with on a regular basis were also writers, and they started talking about NaNo, and I was like, what? Like, is this like some kind of alien language? Is this sci-fi fantasy? I didn't understand what they were talking about, and then I had to dig into it a little bit and then realized that it was a writing frenzy, really. Did you know that it started back? Do you know what year it started, Claire? A little history lesson, since I am the historian.
Well, I think it was 20 years ago, so I'd imagine it was 1999.
91. Now you have me questioning this.
So, listeners, it's either 20 years ago or 28 years ago. You take your pick. I'd go 25. Should we call it 25?
Well, yeah, we're the experts, damn it. We'll just say it's 25. Screw all of you who think we're wrong. But, yeah, so the first time it started, there was only 21 participants, and now there's, like, almost 500,000 each year. So that really has grown.
Yes. So we thought we'd talk about this month because it's normally in November. And so when this podcast goes out, it'll be October the 28th. So if you're thinking about it, you've got like 3 days. So that's a long, long time, isn't it? So there's a guy called Grant Faulkner who was on the Creative Pen podcast recently. And that's what alerted me to the fact that it was NaNoWriMo. It happens every year. It's always in November. And he was just saying that you can sign up anywhere in the world, and you can join in on social media and get motivation from other writers. And the challenge is to write 50,000 words in a month. And so I think it works out to like 1,667 words a day or something like that. So if you can write 50,000 words in a month, I mean, that is pretty damn incredible. And he was saying on this podcast that a lot of people have written best-selling books that you would know about. You know, Booker Prize winning books have been written in NaNoWriMo. Now, that's not to say that you would then take those 50,000 words and then put them up on Amazon. No, it's just a first draft. And
yeah.
It's really just getting your first draft words down. But even if set yourself the challenge of doing 50,000 words, even if you think it's outlandish, even if you're just thinking, I've got a book in me. But it's a really good thing to do, just to join in with other people, and you can get motivated. And, you know, there's people doing writing sprints and challenges and prompts on Twitter all the time. I know, because I've seen them on Twitter. I'm sure they're doing them on maybe Facebook and Instagram as well. I don't know. I haven't looked. But Twitter, I see them all the time. So even if you just write 10,000 words, isn't that brilliant? if you hadn't written anything before. And Joanna Penn was saying that she wrote 20,000 words last year. I think she just committed. She wrote her first novel in NaNoWriMo. Yeah, I think it's a brilliant thing to do and it's really motivational. And if you've got a novel inside you, this is the place to maybe try and bring it out.
Yeah, going back to your point that some of the books that have come out of NaNo have done quite well. Like one of them was Water for Elephants by Sarah Gruen. Another one was The Night Circus by Morgenstern, and Wool by Hugh Howey. So, but like you said, it is not, it's a great way because we're always talking about getting your first draft down is fantastic. And also remembering that that first draft, no matter what, is going to be shitty. And this is just a way for you to focus, to sit down basically every day and get those words out and just keep going forward, not stopping and rereading or anything. You're challenging yourself to do 50K in a month. The whole goal is just to keep going, keep adding those words, just the words. And it's one of those things where it is inspirational because a lot of people, there's a big writing community that you can find on the website or in other writing groups that are focusing on it. And they like, I think they have like inspirational words each day where you can read and everyone's just cheering you on. But you know what? I didn't know until I started digging into the fabulous resource of Wikipedia last night. I didn't know you had to submit your file and then they put it through a system to verify your word count.
I didn't know that.
So you can't just go in and say, oh, I wrote 50K, and they're like, okay. But, like, you actually have to submit it, but there also is no, there's no, like, deterrence for cheating. So you could just, like, submit, like, they can't obviously go into your computer and see when you started adding these words. But you're supposed to do an honor system, and you can't start until, like, midnight on November 1st. And I guess the deterrent for cheating is the fact that if you don't do it, you're only cheating yourself.
That's what I was just about to say, that if you you're just cheating yourself, everyone. And also just think about Grant's disappointed face. He'd have his disappointed face on, Grant Faulkner, I'm sure. He sounded like a lovely man, but he's from Canada and all people from Canada are lovely, aren't they?
I was wondering where you were going with that one, but he's from Canada. I was like, uh-oh.
She's just about to offend everybody in Canada. Oh, no, she's pulled it back. But Grant was saying on the podcast, and I totally agree with him. And, you know, it kind of comes back to the episode we did on how to write a novel and how long does it take us to write a novel, all down to your preparation. And so because you probably won't be able to go into November and sit down and write 50,000 words straight off the bat. So Grant was saying the key thing to do it is time management. He does it every year and he starts thinking about what he's going to write at the beginning of October. And then he makes an outline of his novel. And then what he also does, which I think is a really key thing, is decide what time he wants to sit down and write. So say you've got to write 1,667 words every day, then you've got to look at your life and think, where am I going to write that? Is it going to be in the morning? Am I going to get up an hour earlier? Is it going to be in the evening? I'm not going to watch that Netflix show. His examples were actually funnier. Now, he should come on this podcast, right? It could be funnier than me. He was saying he just stops doing housework.
Well, that's already my method, so I'm screwed there.
So, you know, even as I was saying that, I was thinking, God, I hate those podcasts that say, hey, if you want to do it, just get up an hour earlier. Screw that shit. My God. And stop. Don't make me try and stop watching my Netflix, but just don't do the washing up for a month or just don't Hoover for a month. I like Grant's method better.
I do like that method, but what if, I mean, honestly, I'm already employing it, so I'm kind of screwed. And I don't have Netflix, but I have been watching a show in the evenings that, because the last time we spoke, I wasn't watching telly, and then I'm back on telly. So, yeah, I'd have a hard time. But I do have a question for you.
Mm.
Have you ever done NaNo?
No.
I haven't either.
I think the reason is that ever since I've been writing, November is not... I don't want to commit to that in November, I suppose. And that's a bad thing to say, yeah. Isn't it? Because there's too many Christmas movies on TV. As you know, November's not the time to get serious about word count. Not for me, but for you, dear listener. It could be the perfect opportunity to dive into that. No, to be honest, I would commit to it. But since I've been writing full time, and I suppose in my head I've got to be full time, but most people aren't. And actually, you can do 1,667 words in an hour or two quite easily. I think I could do that in an hour. I'm a seasoned writer. So maybe if I wasn't doing this on a regular basis, maybe it would take me a couple of hours. But, you know, it's not as many words as you might think. But I guess that my Novembers just have never panned out like that. Quite often, I'm away in November.
The first time they did it in July, and then they changed it to November because they wanted to take advantage of the winter time where, you know, you spend probably more time inside.
Yeah.
But for Americans, it's not a good month because we have Thanksgiving. So, and then you have a lot of, like, family and dinners and a lot of washing up to do, so... I mean, what do you do with all your Thanksgiving dishes, Grant?
You just leave it there and you go and write your 1,667 words. That's what you do. That's what Grant does.
So I've always questioned, like, why they chose November, because, I mean, it's all about America, apparently. So why inconvenience all the Americans?
Because you know that we don't have Thanksgiving here. We call it a Thursday. I was just looking, actually, to see if you get weekends off, but you don't, because it's... There's 31,167, whatever it is. I can think I keep changing the number every time. It's 1,667.
But if you do, like, double that in one day, I mean, you're not just committed to doing that one.
No, you don't have to write every single day. That's what they do advise. And, you know, as we know, when you're in a first draft mode, it's better to write every day because then you keep the momentum going. However, you don't have to. Some people do it in spurts, so like they'll write 10,000 words in 2 days and then they'll leave it and then come back to it. So you can get your 50,000 words done however you want, but the aim of it is to get 50,000 words down. Even if you just get 10, 20, 25, it's still a success, I would say. I'd be happy getting that this November. My NaNoWriMo, my best months for writing, and I know this is just a story I tell myself, but it's always been January, February. That's just a story I tell myself in my head. And so I always write loads in January and February. Don't know why. And I always try and write quite a lot in November and December. And I did kind of manage it a little bit last year. But it's never going to be 50,000 words in November.
No, but this is my busy time. As soon as fall hits, my brain kicks in. My writing brain kicks in. And I do start being more productive. Now that I've said that, I have been ill for the past 5 days and haven't written one word. And so my deadline that's in the middle of November, I'm starting to... freak the fuck out. I'm not sure I'm gonna make that deadline. I hope my editor is not listening.
You need to NaNoWriMo your way to the finish line, TB.
I need to get rest first, I think.
So if you're interested in doing NaNoWriMo, go to, I think it's NaNoWriMo.com, or just look up National Novel Writing Month on Google and you can sign up for it. And I think you might even get a certificate if you complete it, the 50,000 words.
Yeah, you get a certificate, and then you get a sticker you can put on your website, and there was something else. I can't remember. I've never done it, so I don't know.
So, but, who doesn't like a certificate and a sticker?
I love stickers. Yeah. I have this piece of furniture. I collect stickers, and then I put it all over the furniture. I pretty much ruined my furniture, but I have a lot of memories on it with my stickers.
All right. So I hope that's filled you in on what NaNoWriMo is. If you've got that book burning to get out of you, I hope it's not really burning and giving you acid reflux. But if it's there, stuck in your esophagus. Where am I going with this? If it's inside you and it needs to come out, consider doing it in NaNoWriMo and get cheerleaders all over the world.
Just puking on out, people.
Actually, comment and tell us if you're going to do NaNoWriMo and if we've inspired you to do NaNoWriMo. And join us next week when we're going to be talking about what writing tools we couldn't live without. See you then.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Lesbians Who Write. Listen in every week for more conversations on writing and lesbian fiction. And you can make sure you never miss an episode by signing up to our newsletter at lesbianswhowrite.com. Also, if you could take a moment to leave a review wherever you listen to this podcast, it would help more people to discover us. Thanks so much and see you next time.